discontinued it. So it's been on since then. One question is, of course, how much traffic that is affected by DNSSEC. Bind does not provide us with any simple means of getting a measure, and we haven't seen that as the most interesting thing to know. More interesting to look at the service and how they cope with the new situation. So we haven't done the measure. We haven't dumped the traffic to do the measure. But the .se is the major TLD for Swedish user community. And that's both for private consumers and for corporate customers and government. And every query for a new .se domain, of course, will start the validation process. So when it's not in the cache, it will start the validation process. But other domains, like com domains, etc., will not start any validation. And it's important to understand here that validation, the fact that we have a trust anchor and there are DS records for delegation, that's enough to trigger validation. The query itself does not affect if there will be validation or not. The query can only affect how much data you'll get back, if you will see that it's been validated or not. We know that there are problems with DNS resolving. There are bugs, there are strangeness in DNS, etc. And what can we expect from DNSSEC resolving? Of course, the same problem as in DNS will also be in DNSSEC, plus some more. And there are some areas that we should look at. Stability, performance, resource requirements, support calls from users, customers, troubleshooting, and key management of trust anchors. Bind version that we used from start was 9.4.1, and it was a little bit unstable with DNSSEC enabled. And it's maybe not surprising that it happened, because this is new code that has not been that much used, and not used but so many. And validation adds an extra step in the resolver process. So what happened was that Bind crashed a little bit too often, but we had no service effect because of the redundant system that we have. So that's good. That's good news. Another good news was that we fairly quickly got a patch from ISC that resolved that problem. That was not a new version of Bind, it was just a patch. And that has actually been the only real instability that we have seen so far. But of course, we could expect that DNSSEC resolving is a little bit less stable than plain DNS resolving. When it comes to performance, we have seen no difference at all. So we don't see any longer response times or anything like that. We haven't seen any increased CPU or memory usage either. And of course, there are the number of DNSSEC query or the DNSSEC validations is probably low in comparison to what it does else. So the expected increase of CPU load will be covered by the variation that you see in the resolver. But in the future, when we have more DNSSEC load, so to say, we do expect those servers to require faster CPUs and more memory than just plain DNS resolving. And therefore, we monitor, of course, the resource usage on all servers. But at the same time, we have an increase in the number of queries, and that's independent of DNSSEC. And by adopting early, we can slowly increase capacity to meet both the increased DNS load and the increase of DNSSEC that we hopefully see. We have not seen any support calls from users yet, nothing that can be related to DNSSEC at least. But we know that some errors in DNSSEC configuration will make the zone unavailable, completely unavailable in DNSSEC resolving. But at the same time, being available in ordinary DNS. So that's something that I'm sure we will meet. It's not an error of DNSSEC, that's how DNSSEC should work. And one could turn it around and say that that error might be someone trying to do cache poisoning or something. Well, the bad news is that the troubleshooting is more complex. And that's an area where we need better tool for the future. It's been mentioned before, there was a bug in Bind that was triggered or what visible by some a bug, say, in the home gateways. So what we saw in September last year was that some of our customers could not reach DNSSEC-enabled domains. And this govlet.se was most severely affected by the problem. And the reason why they were affected was that was the first domain with broad public usage that was DNSSEC-enabled. And we had ordinary users trying to reach their hometown website, looking for opening hours of their daycare or something. And they could not reach that website. Those errors did not go to our support organization. We didn't see those errors because the customers, they saw it as an error in the website of govlet.se or www.govlet.se. So they got the error messages. And luckily, they saw the connection or they suspected the connection to the DNSSEC. And they called the .se staff for help. So the problem behind it turned out to be a bug in Bind 9.4.1-P1. And the bug was that it incorrectly enabled the AD flag in the answer. That's the only difference. So it didn't add some other records in the answer. It only turned that flag on. And that's contrary to the standards. And that combined with some home gateways that refused to pass that answer back because they thought, I mean, the AD flag should never be set. That was the reasoning. But they should have just ignored it. Well, this time, another patch from IEC and a rebuild of Bind solved the problem. But we were close to turning DNSSEC off at that time because when we saw that there was a problem and we didn't have the answer, we had to do something. But we didn't, and we were quick. The solution came quick enough. But we were all surprised that that cheap consumer hardware should risk of stopping the DNSSEC deployment. And I think that in some times it actually have delayed the signing of some important domains. And there are reports available, so if you're interested, I hope that they maybe be uploaded on the website for this workshop, if someone is interested, or contact the... You could contact me if you don't see it. Key management is another important issue. As I've said several times, we need the trust anchors. And the trust anchors, they are managed outside of DNS. So you add a trust anchor for a new zone that you want to trust. You have to renew the trust anchor. And sometimes you maybe want to remove a trust anchor or move a trust to a zone. And until root zone is signed, we might have multiple trust anchors. But when the root is signed, then hopefully we will all be able to trust the root zone and have its public case key as the trust anchor. Adding a trust anchor is quite straightforward, and it's documented how you do it. And as soon as you do it, you trust that domain, and the DNSSEC resolve will start validating queries. Renewing is an important issue, because on the contrary to ordinary DNS resolver, a DNSSEC resolver cannot just be left running without any managing, because you have to update or renew the trust anchor. And when to do that, it's maybe not that easy to know, because contrary to SSL certificates, you cannot read from the key when it will die, it's time to renew it. So it's just an administrative decision of the domain owner when to do a key rollover. So we depend on announced rollover dates so we can plan this.